Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for April 15th, the year of our Lord, 2004. This is our 202, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, to do so on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution of the United States of America. That is our guide. Wow, we talked last hour. It is indeed tax day, folks, and that's not a hill I'm willing to die on. Pay your taxes, get it done ASAP. And I know some of my friends and people around the world would be like, Sam, why do you promote, you know, paying taxes to a criminal government and, you know, all that? Because I don't want you to go to jail and lose all that you have. If you want to change it, there's ways to change it, but you can't just individually just back out. You just put yourself in harm's way when you do that. So I really recommend, hey, if we want to get rid of the tax abuse, income tax in America, I advocate to get rid of it. It's criminal. There's no question about it. I don't think that it's good. I just don't think that it's a hill that you should die on. That's all. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir. It is tax day. And I'm telling people that it's not a hill they should die on. Pay your taxes, move on, and fight for liberty. If we want to get rid of the tax system, by all means, I'm aboard to help make that happen. But I'm not willing to get in harm's way individually and lose everything I have over it. Your thoughts, Lowell?
Yeah, I agree, Sam. I've been down that road. I've fought that fight before. And while I do agree that the tax is illegal and unlawfully applied, you cannot deny the fact that they have the power, maybe not the authority, but they have the power to make your life very miserable, to take everything you have and leave you penniless. And then you in a position where you're not able to fight for the cause of liberty in any meaningful way, it's really better just to, as you say, pay your taxes, move on, and repopulate Congress and the states with good wise public servants who will get rid of the income tax legislatively. Hopefully that can happen, but that's down the road a ways, I think, Sam.
Amen to that. Anyway, file your taxes. It's tax day. Please don't die on that hill is my comment for that. And by the way, we have our CSPOA event coming up on Wednesday, April the 17th. All day CSPOA conference, CSPOA.org. You can click on to sign up. You can go to our event all day Wednesday. You can also click on getting tickets for the Flynn movie. That'll be premiering in Vegas on Thursday. So it's a two-day great, great, great time. Going to be had by all. The room is going to be packed. The Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association is proud to announce an unprecedented gathering of American leaders, patriots, and constitutional advocates and scholars at the Ahern Hotel. That'll be happening on April the 17th, the day after tomorrow. I'm already here for the event, ladies and gentlemen. It's titled Resist the Temptation. And boy, howdy, can you drive a truck through that title, huh? Resist the temptation to abuse us citizens on tax day. Get rid of the income tax. It's wholly immoral and unconstitutional. Resist the temptation to take us to the Iran supposed Israel war. Resist the temptation to spy on the American people via FISA, the 702 lies. Resist the temptation to violate our First Amendment rights, all five guarantees. Resist the temptation to, I can go on and on and on, Lowell.
Well, that's a great point. How did you invite the sheriffs across the country? Did you send an invitation to all the sheriffs in all the counties of the states?
No, we didn't. We just invited certain sheriffs mm-hmm. to come. We don't have all the sheriffs. This, interestingly enough, is not just for sheriffs. It's for the public to attend. And it's sure. It's twofold. It's a CSPOA or Constitutional Sheriff's Educational Training Seminar, and it's a press conference. And let me tell you kind of how we backed into this event in the first place. you know, we've got Russian media and London media and all kinds of international media that have been calling us up and saying, Sam, as the CEO of the CSPOA, or Richard Mack as the founder of the CSPOA, we would love to interview you guys and kind of get to the bottom of your thinking and your understanding and this and that. But you know what? Myself and Richard Mack have done plenty of interviews in the past, and all they do is talk to us for 3 hours, and then they just go to the chopping block floor before they release their story or their video or whatever they're going to do, and they literally just pretty much lie about who we are, what we say. I mean, they're good. So they don't blatantly, you know, 100% betray you, but they put things in unfavorable light. You know, so for example, they'll say things like, oh, Sam and Richard Mack or the CSPOA is a dangerous organization. It believes that sheriffs can violate the law and do whatever they want. Well, that's not at all what we said, right? That's their manipulated, dishonest interpretation of what we said. What we really said was the sheriff is the chief law enforcement officer in his county. The CLEO is the way the Supreme Court calls it. And you know what? He is the most senior law enforcement officer in the county. Therefore, in his jurisdiction, he has more authority than anybody else. If you don't believe me, how did Richard Mack beat Bill Clinton at the Supreme Court then? Well, you guys are using a broad interpretation of that. It was really very narrow. No, you're lying again. Let's use the words from the Supreme Court case. And so we decided that what we'll do is we said to these international press folks, you know what, we're going to hold a training and a press conference. Number one, you're going to come to our training first so that you quit asking clown questions. 90% of your questions will be answered during our training. And that way we don't get these goofy questions that are just nonsensical. Come get educated and then we can discuss this topic. And so we basically said we're going to do it. We're going to record it. It's going to be public so the people can see what's happening. We're going to record it. We're going to broadcast it live on Lindell TV. And then, you know what, we're going to have an open press conference where you can ask us any questions that you want to. But it's going to be after our training. Well, believe it or not, the international media agreed to this. So we set it all up and did it in literally record time. It took us less than a month to get this whole conference together. It's going to be a packed house. It's an all-day event. It's a training and a press conference. And so we put this together and we said, look, we're going to document every bit of it. So if you guys lie, we'll be able to say, no. Here's the video of what we really said and here's what we really did and here's the real answer to the question. And they've all agreed to it. Well, since we did this now, the American media has jumped aboard too. You got ABC, CBS, CNN, the Associated Press, all going to be in attendance. So this is a huge, it's probably the biggest event we've ever done, Lowell.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. I wish I could go. It's an awesome event. I'm talking about it every day on my Tuesday radio show as well. I plug it. So should be a great, great opportunity to really learn what Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association is all about.
And we aim to showcase peaceful solutions to the problems that we face. And I'll just give you a couple of quick examples and then we can move on. There was a church in New Mexico. And the pastor of the church was told down that his services at the church were non-essential during COVID. And he felt like, you know what? I believe that that is one of the most essential things for people to be able to get together, derive strength from one another, meet together off to fast and to pray and to strengthen one another. And, you know, when you teach about religion, you teach that it's kind of like the embers of a fire. You know, if you spread them all out, they can't stay alive. But if you know, the fire gives strength, right? And that's why we need to meet together to give strength to one another. And so this pastor said, I don't want to close down. And the state police of New Mexico said, you will shut down. So the pastor went to his sheriff and he said, you know what? I don't want to shut down. And I believe this is wrong. And I believe my services are essential. I mean, they're leaving liquor stores open and lap dances in bars, but yet I'm being shut down. Will you stand with me, please? And the sheriff said, yes, I will. Even if I have to go to jail, I will stand with you. Well, the sheriff and the pastor got together. And they told the state police, you're not coming in and shutting down this church. The state police came anyway. Well, all the sheriff did was deputize many of the parishioners in the church. The short of it is that the church never shut down during COVID. It fulfilled its God-ordained mission. And so the sheriff and the pastor who made that happen are both at our event telling their story. That is a real solution to a serious problem, showing the authority and power of the sheriff when backed by we the people. That's a critical example of part of what we're talking about. I can go on solution after solution after solution. We're talking about Sheriff Mack's Supreme Court case win over Bill Clinton. And we're applying that liberally. That's where the resist the temptation quote comes from. Antonin Scalia in the court case talked about the government and how Bill Clinton and others need to resist the temptation to just think that they're literally gods in the room. You got to stop that. So that resist the temptation is literally a quote from the Supreme Court case. And the whole day will be full of solutions. My talk or my speech at this event, go ahead and skip the break, please. My speech at the event will be called The Constitution Protects Us. And then the rest of the statement of the Supreme Court case is from our best intentions. And we'll talk about that and what it means and how the Southern Poverty Law Center has been attacking me and abusing me and maligning me dishonestly forever. And so I'm going to play some clips from a speech I gave back in 2012 set in the... So there's a lot of solutions, and one of the biggest solutions is that'll be archived for history's sake. And that's what we're doing at this event. It's a pretty big event, Lowell.
Well, and I understand that you're going to be talking about resisting the temptation to steal the election. In other words, solutions.
That's exactly right.
Viable solutions to ensure a more transparent and more fair election this year. So I'm
Lindell will be there. He'll be speaking and he'll be talking about how he's taking Carrie Lake's case all the way to the Supreme Court. And my response to the media is, you know, you claim that we have no election integrity examples or evidence. And my response is, how did Mike Lindell and Carrie Lake get all the way to the Supreme Court? If you don't have any facts or any information that has any value or relevance at all, you don't end up at the Supreme Court. How many cases does the Supreme Court actually take? It's minuscule. And how do they get there? Answer, there's more to hear than meets the eye, right?
Yep. Yep. That's awesome, Sam. Way to go.
We're talking about January the 6th. And how people were literally wronged and abused there as well. It's going to be a conference to be at. If you want to sign up, you've got a day or two left. CSPOA.org. Get it done immediately. Lowell?
Okay. Awesome, Sam. Appreciate that very much. Let's talk about the solar eclipse, shall we?
That was an awesome event. You know, the skies are fascinating, Lowell.
Yeah, they really are. And that was the reason I was not here to join you Liberty Roundtable last week. Vicki and I were in Mazatlan with some of our family to enjoy the beach for a few days and then to witness the total solar eclipse. Now, we've seen partial eclipses before, but this was the very first total solar eclipse that we had ever witnessed. And it was every bit as awesome as advertised. You know, our grandchildren were playing in the kiddie pool in front of us. And so they were occupied, and so that gave us the opportunity, of course, to spend more time looking up into the sky. We watched, you know, put on our glasses, watched as the moon gradually covered up the sun and then gradually revealed it after the total eclipse was over. It took about an hour to cover it up, about an hour to uncover it, but the sun, Sam, was totally blocked for about 4 minutes and 10 seconds. Now, I had heard that it would get dark. And, of course, that's what happened. But it did remain quite light, even when only a sliver of the sun was visible. But during that four-minute period of totality, it was dark. I mean, it wasn't pitch-black nighttime darkness, but it was dusk-like dark. So it was like dusk, you know, had fallen over, like the sun had set, right? And it's that type of ambient lighting everywhere. But it was a lot darker than I had thought it was going to be. And the temperature dropped significantly, too, Sam, noticeably. Like some of our grandchildren came out of the water and asked for towels to wrap up around them to get warm. I would guess the temperature dropped probably 20 degrees or so, you know, Fahrenheit degrees. So that was pretty interesting. Another phenomenon I had not expected, Sam, there was a 360-degree sunset. Basically, you could see the sun lighting up the horizon in every direction, 360 degrees around us, right? The sunlight was striking the clouds on the horizon all around us. And so this created a kind of like a sunset effect all the way around us. Usually you see the sunset just in one, you know, direction as the sun sets or as the sun rises. You see the sun rise in just one direction. But we saw this sunset, this the appearance of a sunset in every direction, 360 degrees around us. That was way cool. I didn't expect that, and so that was cool. And then speaking of the clouds, Sam, there were myriad roads of cirrus clouds drifting across the sky during the eclipse. As they passed between us and the moon, they gave they seemed to give the moon movement, right? So it appeared as though the moon were moving through the sky, because these clouds were moving through the sky. So it looked even more awesome than it would have looked had there been no clouds at all, because if there had been no clouds at all, then it might have looked like these giant celestial bodies were not moving really much. we could tell
and
that the moon...
I didn't do this full eclipse because I just didn't have time to travel to it or whatever, but I was involved in the eclipse. I think it was in, 2017, something like that, mm-hmm. where it was mm-hmm. a partial eclipse. Said, man, when it gets semi-dark like that, it doesn't get 100% dark, as you mentioned, but it's almost surreal, isn't it?
Yeah, very surreal. A lot darker than I thought it was going to be, that's for sure. So it was, we met a guy down there who had witnessed 17 of these total eclipses, and this is his 18th one. I mean, he was loaded with cameras and lenses and tripods. It struck me like he was a freelance photographer, who sells images to magazines like the National Geographic. Fun talking to him. He had a ton of experience with these things. And, pretty much everybody down there at the resort we were staying at had come for the eclipse. I mean, it was a pretty big deal. And so I'm glad we were able to witness that last week, even though it kept me off the show. It does, Sam, it helps me appreciate the incredible blessing of living on this planet, which is just the right distance from the sun, with just enough atmosphere to keep us alive and enough plant life to recycle our carbon dioxide into oxygen to keep us alive. So, I mean, we live in a pretty, I don't know what you say, idyllic condition. And our distance from the sun is just right. And we have just the right atmosphere and the right, plant life around us. I mean, it's a real blessing. It reminded me of the scripture in the Book of Mormon, where the prophet writes, all things denote there is a God, yea, even the earth and all things that are upon the face of it, yea, and its motion, yea, and also the planets which move in their regular form do witness that there is a supreme creator. End of quote. So that's pretty
and
awesome,
I think
Sam.
That Lowell sums up the reason that we spend so much time on this. Yeah, it's unique from a scientific point of view to kind of see these, things happen or whatever else. But beyond that, it really, when you look into space or look into the sky, you kind of realize how big the sky, the solar system, the universe is, whatever you want to say, and how tiny we are. And on one hand, you can think, well, we're nothing. But that's if you don't believe in God. If you believe in God, the way we as Christians understand it, you know what? We're his children. We're his sons and daughters. We have godly heritage, if you will. And as a result, yes, it's so big and so vast and so incredible and so, but he has not forgotten any of his children. And so to me, it really is a faith builder to say, you know what? On one hand, it's the right distance from the sun. It's this, it's that, all these factors. We live in a very precarious situation, except for when you know that the master of the universe, the creator of it all, is in charge, and he has not forgot about you. That's what Christian religion teaches, that you matter to him. He is involved in the simple things of your life. He is involved in, he knows you. He has not forgot about you. To him, all things are important. The Savior taught, he leaves the 99 and goes after the one that seems to be lost. You're that important to him. And so when you look at this expanse of the universe and talk about how, there is this incredible perfect balance of how we're far enough away from the sun to be warm but close enough to feel the heat of the sun, and all these different reality checks about breathing and all the things that are put in place, all things denote there is a God, and this God is real, and he cares about you, and he lives, and you can live as well. And anyway, it to me, it's bigger than just the science discussion, And I really want to use the time on the radio to testify of God, our Father, and of his Son, Jesus Christ, and how vital that understanding really is. And I think when you look at these marvels in the sky, hopefully it brings you closer to that understanding. Hopefully it gives you faith and hope where you might have had none, or an awe about your Father in heaven and who he is and what he's doing for us and our purposes of being here. And hopefully it really spawns a greater thought process in your heart and in your mind. Hopefully it spawns kind of some prayers in your life as well, too, that really can bring to God. And that's really, to me, kind of the takeaway from this whole discussion, Lowell.
Oh, absolutely right, Sam. I couldn't have said that better. It deepens my appreciation for life itself. And of course, I attribute that blessing to our Creator, to our God. And so speaking of my appreciation for life, Sam, I must add one anecdote here. We returned to Utah the day after the eclipse, flew from Mazatlan to Mexico City and from there to Salt Lake City. While upon leaving Mexico City, we'd been cleared for takeoff there on the runway. We were gathering our speed going down the runway, probably halfway down the runway, right at that point where you expect to feel the nose of the plane come up at any moment. Well, all of a sudden, the whine of the engines just dropped. The flaps on the wings, on the backside of the wings, popped up. The reverse thrust, you know, you could hear the roar of the engine as it reversed its thrust, and it slowed us down. And then they applied the brakes. I mean, we rolled to an unexpected stop. Excuse me, there on the runway. Well, the captain came on. He explained that the cargo door open indicator light had come on during their takeoff, and that they had aborted the takeoff in order to examine the problem. And so, you know, they didn't know, was the cargo door really open, or was there some malfunction with the light? And so we taxied back to the terminal. Some mechanics fixed the problem, and a couple hours later we were in the air coming home. And so I've never had that happen to me before, Sam. I don't fly a lot, but, and I understand many or maybe some of our listeners do, but that was a pretty exciting interlude in our travel plans. Was you know, this aborted takeoff. And I guess, you know, I'm really glad that the pilot stopped and we got the problem taken care of, because, you know, you don't want to get up there and have a big disaster. So anyway, that just deepened my appreciation for life itself and for my Heavenly Father and for my family. Sam?
Amen to that, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to set the stage for our next discussion. We're going to be talking about Senator Mitch McConnell in a second, but Dr. Bradley and I were together on the first hour, Lowell, and we talked about this. We talked about file your taxes, as you already heard, but then we talked about Iran attack on Israel raises fears of a wider war. Let me say that again. The Iran attack on Israel raises fear of a wider war. And I then said, how would our founding fathers respond? And we talked about that in great detail. And in the end, I basically stated this: we reject unconstitutional, immoral wars. We advocate to simply follow the Prince of Peace. And that's really critical as we kind of set up this next headline. Why don't you tease that, and then we'll take a break and come right back and drill into it, sir.
Right. Well, it's going to be all about Ron Paul, his column that he wrote last week, which is posted at campaignforliberty.org. He talks about Mitch McConnell. He's the Senate Minority Leader. He talks about the fact that Mitch McConnell's worried because there's more people pushing back against our interventionist foreign policy, which, of course, McConnell calls isolationism. Well, it's not isolationism, Sam, as much as it is following the advice of our founders, specifically the advice of George Washington, President George Washington, to not intervene.
And we quoted George as well last hour. The most important thing to understand is it violates the supreme law of our land to be involved in these immoral, unjust wars as well. When we come back, Lowell will break it all down for you in seconds. Ron Paul's column. We're talking about campaignforliberty.org on your radio.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Ryan Daniels. It's a moment for the history books Monday, as former President Trump's first criminal trial is getting underway with jury selection this week in New York. This, the hush money case. Trump attorney Will Scharf tells Fox News Sunday the former president may ultimately take the stand in his own defense.
I think that's going to be a decision for President Trump and the trial team, depending on how the trial progresses. I would say that I think if he does take the stand, President Trump will be a compelling witness. He did nothing wrong here. The truth is absolutely on his side.
Trump said Friday that he would take the stand. Scharf said it will be difficult for the defense team as both sides seek an impartial jury in the case. Israel is promising there will be a response to this weekend's drone and rocket attack by Iran. However, there are no details about what response that might be. A top national security spokesman for the White House says U.S. policy toward the Israel-Middle East conflict is focused on keeping it contained to Israel-Hamas. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says the U.S. has no interest in war with Iran.
Whether and how the Israelis will respond, that's going to be up to them. We understand that and respect that. But the president's been very clear. We will continue to help Israel defend itself.
National Security Council spokesman John Kirby on with NBC's Meet the Press Sunday. This after Iran launched drones and missiles at Israel Saturday in a largely ineffective attack. And O.J. Simpson's estate says it does not plan on paying his civil trial judgment from 1997. A civil court found him liable for the deaths of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman. O.J. avoided paying most of the money while he was alive. Now his legal team says they don't plan on paying the rest. This is USA News.
President Biden recently released a massive $6 trillion budget, the largest budget in U.S. history. And guess who pays the bill? That's right, you, the American taxpayer. American citizens and business owners will be paying more taxes. That's a fact. And if you owe back taxes, they will be coming after you to collect payments. In fact, President Biden also hired thousands more IRS agents to go after you. If you got a letter from the IRS and you know you owe back taxes or you haven't filed in years, don't put your head in the sand. Call us today. We've saved our customers millions of tax dollars. One quick, free phone call will show you how we can reduce your past tax bill and save you thousands. Guaranteed, or you pay nothing. Call now.
800-511-6046. 800-511-6046. 800-511-6046. That's 800-511-6046.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing, and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. Sam Bushman is your host. My name is Lowell Nelson. I'm with him. I get the privilege to be with him Monday mornings from 9 to 10 o'clock. We're talking about a column that Ron Paul wrote, posted at campaignforliberty.org. McConnell cannot stop the non-interventionist tide. Now, one of the reasons I picked this article to discuss is because we're having an impact on Congress, ladies and gentlemen. It's a good impact because this, McConnell's worried about this isolationism that seems to be, percolating among the American public. Paul writes this, quote, "What McConnell deems to be isolationism had for much of our history been called America's traditional foreign policy. There have been major exceptions, but until the emergence of the neoconservatives starting in the late 1970s, we largely adhered to the words of John Quincy Adams that America goes not abroad in search of monsters to destroy." End of quote. He then, Ron Paul then explains that before the neocon movement of the late 1970s, we, meaning the U.S. People, believed we would be more influential by demonstrating the benefits of a free market economy than by coercing other nations down the barrel of a gun, which is how we got the disastrous war in Vietnam, by the way. But in the 1980s, the neocons won the minds of the policymakers. And so this is a fairly recent innovation, this neocon, this idea. Basically, the neocons were determined to remake the world in their image through the use of force. Continuing the quote here from Ron Paul's column, "The American people at first accepted the hollow promises of the interventionist neocons, believing, as they were told, that it was the patriotic thing to do," end quote. But so what we're seeing now, folks, is a shift away from interventionism, which is a welcome shift. I mean, Ron Paul writes this. He says, quote, "The mood has changed, and more Americans are tired of being told they must sacrifice to save the rest of the world from itself. Recently, Colonel Douglas McGregor posted on Twitter, 'We have lost $14 trillion over the last 20 years on dumb interventions in other countries. What good has it done?' Many Republicans," Ron Paul continues, "are asking that same question. What have we gotten for the first $100 billion to Ukraine? A victory for freedom like we were promised? No. We got rampaging inflation, decreasing standard of living, and demands for another $100 billion. What did we get for the trillions we spent in the 20-year war in Afghanistan? Peace and democracy in the region? Hardly. As is often said, we spent 20 years in Afghanistan replacing the Taliban with the Taliban. All the money wasted, all the lives destroyed, all the blood spilled over the 20 years, and the interventionists achieved nothing. Worse than nothing. Speaker Mike Johnson is facing serious pressure from House Republicans over his desire to keep spending on overseas intervention. That's one reason the National Security Supplement Foreign Aid Bill has not been brought to the floor. All of a sudden, interventionism is a loser, with more of the American people and politicians are paying attention." End of quote. So, Sam, kudos to Americans who have persuaded their public servants to quit spending on these foreign interventionist boondoggles. And so I say, let's keep it up and let's bring our troops home as soon as we can. Sam?
Is Lowell talking?
No, I quit talking. Go ahead, Sam.
Hi, Lowell. Sorry about that. I got disconnected somehow, and I'm not sure what caused that. But anyway, we should be good. I agree this intervention foreign policy is just a problem. And the good news is that the American people are starting to think about this. And the good news is there's a lot of pushback. Mitch McConnell doesn't seem to stem the tide or care. This isolationist lie needs to stop. We want to trade with people. We want to work with people. We want to negotiate with people. We want to have civil dialogue. And well, when Tucker tries to have civil dialogue with Russia, they attack him for it. When, aren't they isolationist if they attack him for trying to negotiate and discuss with the Russians? And so we don't want isolation at all. That's just a lie they tell to try to carry the ball, right?
Yeah, exactly right, Sam. They don't want any narrative out there that's not their own. They want the only the one narrative they want out there is the one that they authored, because then they can control what goes on. But with all of these alternative media sites, you know, like Liberty Roundtable and Tucker Carlson Network and stuff, they really have to stretch to control the narrative.
Where do we go from here with this, Lowell, do you think? I mean, what do you think the options are?
Yeah, well, I think we continue to put pressure on our public servants there in Congress at every opportunity. This is the year to do it. I mean, this is the year they're up for election. And so at every town hall meeting, every opportunity to ask a question, we simply ask, why are we still involved in Ukraine? Why are we over supporting Israel, killing, you know, Palestinians? I mean, these are questions that need to be answered. Why are we doing that without a declaration of war? You know, you ask these members of Congress what we're doing without a declaration of war. You know, we need to hold them accountable. And if every time they meet the public, they get this question, it'll change their mind, Sam.
I agree with that. I just don't know how to teach people the truth. It's not foreign. I'm sorry. It's not isolationist to say, I don't want to fight. I don't want to, you know, arm and train and fund war. I want to negotiate. I want peaceful diplomatic relations. How is that isolationist? And the problem is that I don't think we, the people, and especially our politicians or anybody in the know, push back hard enough on this. How is it isolationist for, say, Tucker to try to talk to the Russians? Or for Sam Bushman to advocate to follow the Prince of Peace and not break out the weapons and the training and the pro-war, beating the drums for pro-war. But yet, I want to trade with these countries. I want to be kind and friendly and visit and learn about their customs and their cultures and their people. And I want them to do the same to us so that we can create a greater understanding. The second we quit talking, we're in trouble. And so how is that isolationist? Why don't we push back hard enough? It wouldn't take very long if somebody were to push back to articulate our position. It's not isolationist to go ahead and want to work on peaceful solutions, work on diplomatic relationships and all the... How is that isolationism? For example, well, we urge Israel not to retaliate to Iran. For Iran, just say, look, we need to stop and negotiate. We don't need to go to war. We don't need to fund war. We don't need to... What we need to do is just simply try to advocate for peace and be the, hey, we're the neutral peace party. Didn't, what country is it that's always had that neutrality stance?
It's Switzerland. Switzerland.
Okay, why can't we have a Switzerland example? I mean, they're not isolationists. They just don't want to go to war. But they welcome all kinds of interactions and involvement around the world. They just don't engage in these political divisions that seem to bear no fruit but death and destruction, right?
That's right. You know, Jason Stapleton often says that where goods cross borders, armies do not, right? I mean, so if we trade with countries, then we're not going to be trying to destroy them because that would destroy our trading partner, right? And so if all the countries of the world had trading partners with every other country in the world, then we'd have a network, a beehive of activity, of productivity, and of peace and commerce. And I mean, it would be what the founders envisioned we would have, a peaceful planet, really. And so, but you know, the power mongers, those who are in it for money and for power, they want to disrupt the peace. They want revolution. They want anything that breaks down the family, that breaks down countries, because they get more power if that happens. Well, we must simply resist the temptation to go to war, resist the temptation to intervene in other countries' business. That's what we need to do as a country, Sam.
The colonel brings out some really good information, and Mike Johnson's in trouble. Let's get to that. But the colonel brings out some real facts that we need to sober up, if you will, and think about seriously, Lowell.
Yeah. He said, look, we spent $14 trillion over the past 20 years on dumb interventions in other countries. What good has it done? And then and he says, many Republicans are asking the same question. This is Ron Paul saying this part. What have we gotten for the first $100 billion in Ukraine? A victory for freedom like we were promised? Nope. We got rampaging inflation, decreasing standard of living, and demands for another $100 billion. What did we get for the trillions we spent in the 20-year war in Afghanistan? Peace and democracy in the region? Hardly. As it's often said, we spent 20 years in Afghanistan replacing the Taliban with the Taliban. All the money wasted, all the lives destroyed, all the blood spilled over 20 years, and the interventionists achieved nothing. Worse than nothing.
Skip the break. So continue, Lowell.
Yeah. So Speaker Mike Johnson is facing serious pressure from House Republicans over his desire to keep spending on overseas intervention. And that's one reason the National Security Supplemental Foreign Aid Bill has not been brought to the floor of the House. So all of a sudden, interventionism is loser with more of the American people, and politicians are paying attention because they don't want the bill to come to the floor because they're going to vote against it. They don't want to have to go on the record as voting against it. So that's why the bill hasn't been brought to the floor. So we're having an impact, ladies and gentlemen. The pressure that we're putting on our members of Congress is having an impact, and we just need to keep it up. Keep on asking them, why are we involved in foreign wars without a declaration of war? That's a key question. And like you said, Sam, define isolationism and help them understand that it's not isolationist to want friendly relations with all countries. Sam?
In fact, bombing everybody to oblivion is isolationism, because if we keep it up, we'll have nobody left but us.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Just to set the record straight on that. But think of the dollars, though, that this colonel highlights and stuff, and how much money we've really wasted. But the tide is turning, and Mike Johnson is in trouble because he's on the wrong side of this discussion, too.
Yeah, absolutely right, Sam. I'm glad to see the tide turn, and so let's keep the pressure high, because we don't want them to think that we have gone to sleep on this. We need to stay awake and make sure they know that we don't intervene. We don't, point the barrel of a gun towards any other country without a declaration of war.
Your final statement on this is really critical. Look, Americans have persuaded their public servants to quit spending on these interventionist boondoggles. And let's just keep up the pressure and bring our troops home, Lowell. I love that.
Yeah, we got to do that. We're in hundreds and hundreds of countries, Sam. Our military's involved, and they don't need to be out there like that. Let's bring them home and return to productive jobs here in America.
Amen to that. Judge Andrew Napolitano with another just inspiring column, Lowell.
Oh, I love his columns. I am reading them every single week now. This column is about the CIA. His column is posted at ronpaulinstitute.org. He writes that, quote, Americans need to be aware of the unbridled propensity of federal intelligence agencies to spy on all of us without search warrants as required by the Fourth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, end of quote. And then he then explains these agencies act as though the Fourth Amendment, which really protects your rights to privacy, the Fourth Amendment applies only to law enforcement. Now, that's an interesting insight, Sam. I really hadn't thought about that, but Napolitano is saying that these agencies act like the Fourth Amendment applies to normal, domestic law enforcement, but not to domestic spying, right? So it affects your local police. They can't spy on you, but the National Security Agency can, or the CIA can, or the FBI can. And so that's a very subtle but interesting point that he makes in his column here. And then he gives us the history of the CIA, which I found really quite interesting. I did not realize, Sam, that it is a relatively recent creation. 1947 was when it was created. And then when it happened, he writes that members of Congress who feared the establishment here of the type of domestic surveillance apparatus that the Allies had just defeated in Germany insisted that the new CIA have no role in American law enforcement and no legal ability to spy within the United States. The legislation creating the CIA contains those unambiguous limitations. End of quote. So that I found
very interesting. This is why the Founding Fathers said that government is evil. It's a necessary evil, but this proves the point. They were very worried about the CIA doing this. They knew it could be a problem. They thought they put the stop blocks in place, whatever, to make sure that it didn't happen. And now it's just absolutely become a behemoth, unconstitutional, immoral, rogue agency that's literally out of control, ran by black op money and everything else. Just completely dishonest. I mean, years ago, I did reports and news articles about the CIA was involved in all kinds of drugs and sex and trafficking around the world and everything. And I mean, it's just as disaster what we've allowed this to become. But that's the nature of government. If the people don't rein it in and stop it, we should have never created the CIA in the first place.
Yeah, exactly right, Sam. And because of skipping down the column, we're running out of time on this. I just want to highlight another point here. Thanks to Reagan and Bush and their successors looking the other way, CIA agents have been engaging in fishing expeditions on a grand scale inside the U.S. for the past 20 years. I believe it's even before that. I'd probably say from the 1980s on. See, government lawyers do not appear before judges seeking surveillance warrants based upon probable cause of crime, as the Constitution requires. Judge Napolitano says here they go to big tech and simply ask for the data. They've been doing this for decades. Every phone call, text message, Zoom meeting, website that you visit, email that you write or receive is scooped up and stored on computers and searched for information that would appear to be a threat to the U.S. regime. That's what's happening.
Yeah, they're doing it without probable cause, and they're doing it instead of individually, so they don't claim they violate individual rights. They're doing it kind of blanket. But they're narrowing in on this without probable cause, and what they're doing is searching for probable cause to then take it to the next level. It's criminal, and the saddest part about it all is it's really happened under Bush and Reagan. The Republicans that think the Democrats are the evil folks, and I agree to a great degree, but look, we can't give these guys a pass. They're the ones that expanded this beyond imagination.
Absolutely right. And see, Section 702 of the FISA, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, is set to expire this week, April 19th. And the CIA has asked Congress to expand their authority for warrantless surveillance. But whether Congress does the right thing or not, Sam, you can bet that the CIA and those sibling organizations will continue to flout the Constitution. They will continue warrantless surveillance. And Sam, this really is a monster that has gotten above us, and uprooting it is an almost impossible task. You look back to history. Some historians believe that John F. Kennedy was murdered because he attempted to take on this national security branch of government. The 3 years of the Kennedy administration were essentially a war between the executive branch and the national security branch over the future direction of the United States. There's a book entitled JFK's War with the National Security Establishment, Why Kennedy Was Assassinated. This book is authored by Douglas Horn.
And the Flynn movie even talks about this, by the way, Lowell, and highlights that truism. So it's documented many, 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 many ways. And the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, we have got to stand against this. And I believe that, it's hard to solve if you're a politician. But if we, the people, use our greater numbers to demand a change, we can affect change. Don't forget that. Our greater numbers is the way we can absolutely demand and affect change, Lowell.
And you folks can read this article in full and other related articles at ronpaulinstitute.org. I just highly recommend that website. LibertyRoundtable.com, RonPaulInstitute.org, CampaignForLiberty.org, LouRockwell.com. These all are really great websites.
Just great stuff. All right, we're about flat out of time, but I want to get to this federal abortion ban, Lowell.
Yeah, I was interested in this piece because, Trump said he would not support a federal abortion ban. Now, if you're pro-life, this really strikes you as the wrong thing to say. I mean, the wrong position to take, But Sam, I'm inclined to agree with Trump on this one. I'll explain why, and then I want your opinion. I do not believe that the states vested in the general government any authority whatsoever for such an issue. Basically, the states vested in the general government authority for free trade among the states and for defense against foreign enemies. But the Constitution does not grant police power authority to the general government. And so, in a similar vein, back in the 90s, I was opposed to the Defense of Marriage Act in Congress. Bill Clinton signed that into law when he was president. Had I been in Congress, I would have voted against the bill because I do not believe that the authority is vested in the general government. And one other reason, practical reason for my position on this, Sam, is that if we rely on a congressional statute to protect the unborn, then we also implicitly relinquish authority to Congress to not protect the unborn, right? And so that's my thinking on that. Sam, am I thinking about this right?
Yes, you are, sir. I agree with you 1,000%. Dr. Scott Bradley and I broke this down on a previous episode where, look, I get that the moral thing to do is protect life, and I support that 1,000%. There's a lot of things that Congress can do to stand for the family and protect life, but one of them is not taking authority that's never been delegated to them, and that's where we kind of miss the mark oftentimes. We, in our ignorance, design, you know, mean well, but because of our ignorance, we miss the mark, and that's exactly what this here is doing. Donald Trump is spot on correct on this. And there's ways to advocate. For example, the president and Congress could say, look, we're putting a resolution together, a pro-life resolution. That's not law. That's just here's where we feel and here's where we stand in support of the states. There's a lot of things that could be done to advocate this, but you don't have to pretend you have authority you don't have to get the job done, Lowell.
Yeah, it seems to me that Congress could pass a resolution encouraging states to ban abortion if they so desire, right?
Yeah, absolutely, and that's what they ought to do. I would sign that resolution tomorrow.
Yeah, me too. And that way they're not usurping the authority that they don't have, but they are sending a signal to the states that, you know, they agree that this is something. I mean, most politicians,
it's the power of influence that they could wield very strongly in the favor of pro-life. Speaking of pro-life, I'd love to make things grow, Lowell, the final topic of the hour.
This is a fun column at lewrockwell.com. George S. Smith wrote it. He says, growing your own tomatoes can be rewarding far beyond the sweet taste of your crop. If you're a gardener, he writes, you know the great feeling of acting directly on nature to produce the food you eat. Now, raising tomatoes gets you outside and sweating, usually provides a sense of accomplishment. It encourages discipline and planning, demands a bit of knowledge and a ton of patience. And when you finally harvest those juicy edibles and carry them into your house without once leaving your property, you can almost hear the fife and drums. You're gripped by a feeling virtually unknown in today's world. Independence. This is what our ancestors fought for. End of quote. See, I just love the imagery of this, of marching from the garden with tomatoes accompanied by fife and drum, Sam. and then Smith, he
I
describes
love it, agree 100%, and us foodies are going to applaud that every time, Will.
That's right. And then he describes some of the hidden benefits of gardening as it relates to the state in police power. He writes, he says, recently I've taken pleasure in what gardening doesn't involve. It doesn't involve the government, at least not in the meddling, bleeding sense. The tomatoes I grow are as valuable to me as money, if not more so, since it is so hard to find good ones. Yet I have no intention of reporting them as income.
I love it.
He says, I take great satisfaction in not needing a license of any kind or certification to create a garden. I don't have to join a union or seek some bureaucrat's zoning approval to devote part of my land to raising vegetables. I don't have to devise and then get blessed any sort of warning label for my tomatoes. If I get sick when I eat them, tough. If the wage I pay myself is the market value of the tomatoes themselves, then I stand guilty of running a sweatshop. Even the most bountiful harvest does not translate into a living wage. He says, if bugs are attacking my Better Boy tomatoes, I can kill the pests without having the government jail me for murdering insects.
He does a great job and highlights the importance of gardening and becoming self-sufficient and a provident type living. We support it 1,000% in every way possible. It's a great, great column. You can see my show notes to get the details of that column as well. I'm just telling you, it's great stuff. By the way, I kind of wonder if we ought to just start saying, since the government's using fake money, not constitutional currency, then why don't we just start paying our taxes in tomatoes? Lowell, what do you think?
Well, tomatoes has
go ahead
real
and drop
value.
Off boatloads of potatoes at the IRS and tomatoes and anything else and just say, hey, we're paying our taxes there.
Yeah.
Anyway, it makes the point, doesn't it, ladies and gentlemen? Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, thank you so much. You do a phenomenal job, and we're grateful for you, sir.
Glad to be with you, Sam. My pleasure. Thank you.
LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word, share the love. Sign up for our CSPOA conference at CSPOA.org and do it today. God save the Republic of the United States of America.